Students are still anxiously awaiting word if they've been accepted to their top choice colleges and universities. We're all pulling for you because you've done everything you can, right? Grades, tests, maybe some essays, and I'm sure you've scrubbed your social media accounts of any potentially embarrassing posts, right? Well, did you also consider using your social media profiles to your advantage? Say, to show schools that you'd be a great fit. Turns out more admissions officers are looking to social media to gain a deeper, positive understanding of college applicants. Alan Katzman is the founder of Social Assurity. He works with students to curate their social media content. Welcome.
Hello.
So first of all, tell me, basically, people think it's common sense that what you put on social media really matters because college admissions officers look at that stuff. But does that common sense bear out? Is it important in the admissions process?
It's becoming increasingly important. Recently, there's been a survey out that has anywhere from 35 to 50% of college admissions officers taking a look. But the critical element here is that they're not looking to find embarrassing photos or embarrassing posts. They're looking to find information about that applicant. That's where I think education needs to come in, because it's not only increasingly important in college admissions, but scholarship reviews and then employment as well.
I completely agree. And employment's an entirely another world, but an important one as well. But I just want to focus for a second here on college admissions, right? Because I'm seeing, I think this is the survey from Kaplan, right, that finds that of those admissions officers who said they did look at social media profiles of applicants, that 47% said that it actually had a positive impact on the application, but 42% said it had a negative impact. So it still can potentially damage an applicant's prospects, can't it?
It absolutely can. The problem, the reason why we started Social Assurity a few years ago, was that we were seeing this increase in importance of social media as part of the college admissions review process. And all the advice out there was basically, don't let anything you post cost you admission to your dream school. And what students started to do was find platforms far off the, we call them digital interstates, where they can't be found. Going under aliases, that missed the point. We've spoken to a number of colleges and college admissions officers who are saying, we're looking at social media to learn more about the candidate.
Right.
So we have to teach students that they need to take the spin to a productive use of social media.
I have so many reactions to this. One, then they range from one, just me shaking my head in a little bit of sadness that young people have to constantly think about their own branding. But on the other hand, it makes perfect sense to me because, you know, we call one of the common monikers for young people is they're digital natives. So, of course, we should be looking at, you know, what they put out there in the digital world to get a better understanding of who they are as a whole person. For example, I'm seeing an example here of an applicant to a college who took to Twitter once to describe facilitating a panel on LGBTQ rights, but it's actually not something that the applicant had even mentioned on her college application. And it enhanced her application overall because the admissions officer bothered to look.
That is a perfect example of what we advocate when we work with students and their families. You can expand the reach of your application by including links to social media profiles. So if you're a photographer, an artist, you can create a portfolio on Instagram and put that link on your application. We work with students to build digital portfolios on LinkedIn. You know, it's very hard to present yourself fully on a common application with a 500-word essay and very limited space to present your character and your credentials and your true interests. And the competitive nature of college admissions today, that ability to stand out and show commitment or deep interest in an activity or service goes very far to define your character and good citizenship.
So let me just ask for a little more detail here in terms of what admissions officers are looking for when they do these searches. I mean, creating a portfolio of your work through social media is one thing. But, you know, how would they get a sense of, as you were saying, things like citizenship, things like commitment to projects, things like grit? I mean, how do you communicate those things?
We're very big on blogging. We encourage students of all ages to start writing about things that interest them. We had this one client whose passion was playing the viola for an orchestra, both in the community and the school. And we worked with him and got him thinking about you know, I play this, I rehearse, and I practice this instrument 15 to 20 hours a week, yet I'm still keeping up really good grades. Well, that's a very effective time management. They've been playing it since they were 8 years old. That's commitment. Chances are they're going to carry that activity into college with them. And they built a LinkedIn profile pretty much highlighting the attributes and skills related to orchestra and playing the instrument. And we do know, because LinkedIn tells you when somebody looks at your profile, that someone at Harvard College looked at that profile. And, you know, that student today is finishing up his first year at Harvard. So it didn't hurt him.
So I have a couple more questions for you. One is just a reality check here. We're not saying at all that social media profiles could overwhelm the importance of grades, test scores, recommendations, the standard things that everyone has to put in a college admissions packet.
We are and we aren't. Grades and strength of schedule is the most critical element, right, for college decisions. The importance of standardized test scores has been questioned. And the other thing that we're seeing, and this is where the education comes in for students, they're kind of casually communicating with college admissions offices, using college names in their communications. You know, social media is fully monitored by colleges, by organizations. Everybody monitors their mentions. And it can either work positively if your profiles are in good shape. They can learn more about you. They can see that you're interested in going to that school. Or as you said earlier, it can work against you.
Yeah. So a couple more things here. Because earlier you said that, you know, managing a social media presence isn't just important for college, but it obviously scholarships and jobs, you said later on. What about when young people feel, you know, they're politically active, which so many young people are today? Like, what if there's a politically minded high schooler who's part of their high school Republican group, or someone who's active in Black Lives Matter? I mean, this is also a fundamental part of their identity. How do they manage that aspect on social media in the politically fraught world that we live in?
We advocate an authentic representation of yourself online. And we also remind students that there is no longer a distinction between what's professional and what's personal. If you decide to post it, it's part of who you are. And if you're worried about alienating people who disagree with your viewpoint, I challenge them. I said, are you really going to be happy working in an environment that doesn't share your political views? But I think it's a personal decision about how much of yourself you want to put out there. Because everything you post, and we stress to students all the time, nothing disappears. You're never anonymous. And anyone in the world with an interest in finding what you've posted can find it.
Right. Finally, Alan Katzman, I'm constantly sensitive to how the pernicious inequities present themselves in our society. And it occurred to me, I mean, you're running a business advising young people on how to manage their social media presence, which is terrific for the kids who, you know, have the means to hire someone like you. I'm concerned that that might put them at an advantage over the millions of young people who maybe couldn't afford it. So for those young people who aren't lucky enough to be able to hire someone like Alan Katzman, what are one or two pieces of advice you'd give them to make their social media presence as bright and reflective of who they are as possible?
Well, two things. All of our work is been produced in online courses, and we do a lot of work with economically disadvantaged students because we think the stories that a lot of these students can tell are much more compelling than their more affluent counterparts. Mm-hmm. You know, as far as responsibilities, maybe taking care of siblings while their parents are working, name it, right? And we think that social media is a great equalizer, that as long as we can get the message out that there is an audience beyond your friends and get them to think about content that, again, showcases their responsibilities, their maturity, their judgment, these are all very strong factors when people start making decisions about you.
Well, we'll see if we can get links to some of those resources at our website, hereandnow.org. Alan Katzman, social media expert and founder of Social Assurity. Very eye-opening and a great pleasure to speak with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.